empty room, voiceless crew at the edge of the moon,
It's the Empty Room Podcast, episode 42.
Is it?
I am Scott, with me is Eric, and we are off to a very
Neverland.
Slow start in 2018. Not much going on in the Empty
Actually,
Room Podcast.
Actually, there's a lot going on, we just don't feel like doing it.
The problem is, and we talk about this all the time.
Because we take like 6 months off between episodes, well, so yeah, of course, we talk about it all the time.
We have lives, and unfortunately, we don't make money doing this. It's a labor of love.
Yeah, because we don't have fans, and the fans we do have don't support us, you fucking bastards.
And sometimes we fall out of love with it, and we have other things we have to do, but we're here.
We're queer. Well, get used to it.
I suppose that's something we could say, but this one might be one of the finales for Eric here. Eric might be leaving the Empty Room Podcast. Now, he's threatened before.
I've threatened before. And I've quit before.
He has quit before.
But no, I'm moving on to bigger and better things. You know, once Scott gets off his ass and actually learns how to do this online, we'll be able to do this much more frequently and without much hassle, though I'll be away.
Well, there's this new app that I was shown the other day. It's called Anchor. And what it does is that you basically can record...
Semen porn?
No. Yeah, I guess you could record semen porn if you wanted to, but that's not what I was thinking. You can record everything via your phone, and you can. It's kind of creepy in that way. Like I could give you a call, put Anchor on, record the actual conversation, and then use it as a podcast material, which is kind of cool. I mean... It's about time somebody did something and made it easier, I suppose.
Yeah, but we could also just do something like over Discord and record it.
Well, again, there's other options out there. I just have to bone up, make sure I know what I'm talking about.
And by bone up, we don't mean, you know, pleasure yourself.
Right.
I know that's what you usually do in those sorts of situations.
Right.
But we need you to actually learn something.
I will learn...
Not just something about yourself.
I'm always learning about myself. There's different ways.
You got to explore every nook and cranny.
No. I mean, there's different personality types that I can make myself better. I don't know what I'm talking about. Let's move on to sports. Let's go with sports. Let's talk about something that I think is just absolutely amazing. Let's talk about something that's happening or happened in the country that... I mean, I think we should all just applaud, and that's the resilience of Lamar Odom and that whole brothel thing he did. Do you remember Lamar Odom, Eric?
Yes.
He was a basketball player for the Lakers, and then he was dating one of the Kardashian ladies, and then all of a sudden he was rushed to the hospital when he was at the Playboy. Was it Playboy? No.
It was a brothel.
It was a brothel. Well, the results are in. And during that situation at the brothel,
mm-hmm.
where he was found unconscious, brought to the emergency room, it turns out that during that whole night, he had 6 heart attacks and 12 strokes.
Jeez.
I don't think that's a mark that's going to be beaten very, very easily.
No.
I think that's a quality start. And I think it's a gosh darn miracle he's alive, to be honest with you. But, what was he doing?
That's all-star material right there. I mean, that's first ballot Hall of Fame dumbass.
Now, there was drugs involved.
Obviously.
There was copious amounts of alcohol involved.
Obviously.
And there was, I'm guessing, some orgasms. That, well, maybe not. I don't know.
Who cares?
But still, you got to admit, 12 strokes, 6 heart attacks in the night.
That's
still coming out the other side. Bravo. Bravo? No?
No. I mean, to actually have them, that's the impressive part. That he survived it. I don't care.
I think the surviving part's the most impressive part.
Yeah, it's impressive, but you know, don't expect me to applaud what you're doing.
No, I mean, he was a decadent jerk at that point, and you know, he was doing bad things. I mean, one could argue it sounds like he wanted to go out that night. You know, doing a lot of drugs.
Then don't be a pussy. Get yourself a gun and blow your brains out like a man.
No, he's up.
Just saying, there are easier ways to do this.
Suppose, but at the end of the day, it's remarkable.
Let's move on. Stop it. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Let's talk about the Patriots. They're about to open up their season.
Okay.
They have probably one of the weaker wide receiving cores in a while. And I guess, you know, we're not going to get into the nitty-gritty details about what the Patriots are doing and all that fun stuff. But my question to you, Eric, and I think this is where the podcast is going to go anyway, is what is the feeling, or what is your feeling, about the Patriots and Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and, what is his name, Guerrero? You know, that whole problem that was created that everyone jumped on nationally because, you know, everyone hates the Patriots. Is that going to be something that, going forward, is going to bother this club?
No, because nothing bothers this club. Nothing ever gets in the way of this club doing its job. Not to, you know, quote a phrase. But in any case, no. What I think is going to be more damaging is the fact that everyone knows that, like, and there seems to be some tension in that area between the big three there, Kraft, Belichick, and Brady. Now, how much tension there actually is, who knows?
Right.
There could be no tension at all.
Right.
But, you know, Tom Brady has said, you know, he wants to play, you know, another 3-4 years. And it's one of those things where I look at it now, and he's going to be good. He's going to be great, because Tom Brady is pretty much always great. But it's getting to the point now where it's like, is Tom Brady going to end his career in New England? And it's seeming more likely that he's not. He's probably going to – well, because the Patriots
– I mean, that's the big question, right? Is Belichick going to outlast Brady? Is Brady going to outlast Belichick? Are they both going out together?
I think that doesn't really matter. I think it's going to be one of those things where, you know, Patriots fans need to get ready for what is probably inevitable, and that is, you know, either – well, most likely the Patriots trading Brady.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think Kraft put the kibosh on that. I think Brady's sailing into the sunset at age 74. And that's when he'll hang up the spikes. And that'll be the end of a very interesting area of football for everybody. So speaking of football, Eric, I know you're a Cleveland Browns fan.
Oh, yeah.
Love the Browns. They went 0-4. Last year.
The color of my poop.
Over?
Huh?
The color of your poop is over?
No, brown.
Oh, brown. Oh, yeah, right. So, they went 0-4 last year. Did not win a game.
Okay.
So, Budweiser put in random bar locations in Cleveland, Ohio, these chests that are about, I want to say, 5 feet to 6 feet high, filled with beer. It's a freezer.
Mm-hmm.
With a chain link wrapped around it that says that once the Browns win their first game, it'll be broken open and everyone in the bar can drink for free of this. They're called victory chests. I think it's a fantastic idea.
Is it for every victory or just the first victory?
Just the first victory. They'll crack it open on the first victory. There'll be beers on the house for everybody.
How many years do you think it'll take?
No, they got a chance this year. They got Baker Mayfield. They got some other parts. I think they'll get one. And that special.
And only one.
That one will be special. The Red Sox are doing things right now that no other team has done. They've won 90 games. There's still a little bit more time to go.
It's a whole month to go.
It's nuts. They're on track to beat the best Red Sox win total in Red Sox history. and they're still within stone's throwing of winning more games than anyone in baseball history.
That's all by the Yankees right now.
I thought it was the Seattle Mariners. I could be wrong. Point is, do you like this baseball team? Because last year they were unwatchable, even though they won the division. They were not fun. They were kind of a bunch of jerks. This year, they took out Pedroia because he's injured. And
has he played it all season?
A couple games. Yes. Two. And they changed managers, brought in Cora. And even though David Price has tried to be a jerk, even he has come out on the other end looking like roses. So, Eric, do you like this team?
I do. They're doing well. They're apparently just hitting a ton.
They're pitching well. They're hitting tons. They're actually playing pretty good defense. It feels like the that 07 team.
Yeah.
Where you just there somebody always comes up big and wins. Whether it's a guy who's you're leaning on heavily, JD Martinez, or it's a guy like Brock Holt that you don't expect much out of, but somehow they'll have a big night when they need to. And
see, that doesn't make sense. This has been like the same thing with Brock Holt the entire time he's been with the Red Sox. Oh, we don't expect much, but then he's just, you know, unstoppable when he's out in the What is it going to take for people to actually say, okay, this guy's pretty fucking good?
Well, I think at the end of the day, they use him as the ultimate utility guy. And because he's a utility guy, people kind of look down on him a little bit. But he does. He comes up big in moments. There's other moments where he stinks on ice. But
you can pretty much say that for any player in the league.
That's true. It is a league of failure. But this team's good.
And, I like it.
Interesting to see how far they'll go.
They're going to go all the way.
Could happen.
I'm calling it right now.
Whoa. Eric said it right here.
Yeah.
So lastly, the last story for the sports anyway. We still got more to go. All of you people thought we'd end early in general.
I was hoping.
You're out of luck. You're off the show, for God's sake. But we're going to stick with baseball. Players who are upset apparently are asking for robot umpires. Now, Eric, we've had a long and successful history of talking about the robot apocalypse that's coming.
It's true.
And robot umpires, I believe, would add to that situation. So, what is your how do we defend against the robot umpires?
Are they talking like, you know, full-on animatronic umpires? Strike.
I don't know if that's what they were thinking. They were probably thinking somebody with the pit, with that little pitch, you know, zone that they show up on TV. But, yeah, I mean, I think as we edge closer and closer to the robot apocalypse, that the umpires could play the linchpin of the start of the apocalypse. You know, someone throws a pitch, he calls it a strike, player thinks it's a ball, turns, they bump. Next thing you know, the robot umpire unleashes his laser and deteriorates his face. And next thing you know, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, you can't really. What happens if you think that the umpire got a call wrong? What are you going to do? Yell at him? He'll rip your arms off. He'll have the strength of 40 men.
Well, there was another story, Eric, that ties into this. And it was the robot story about how they had these robots, small ones, scientists were giving them to people in a study, and when the robot would request them to stop using them, people would not do it. They would continue to torture these poor robots.
What were they doing to the robots?
I think they were just like, you know, using them, and when the robot said, hey, it's time to stop, they were like, no, have some more. So I think this is where this is going, because this, you know, the umpires are not going to be. Let's put it this way: the robot umpire is not going to take your shit very long.
No,
he's going to be like, "You are wrong, zap," and now you need a new second baseman. So I just think this is the linchpin that starts everything.
Yeah, you don't get ejected from the game; you get ejected from life.
Yeah, yeah.
And that'll certainly be a new trend.
Finally, robots will rule the world.
Yeah. A long time coming.
Can you give us a last?
No, because it hasn't happened yet.
Oh, well, the last one for the Empty Room Podcast.
Oh, right. Dun.
So it's the entertainment section of the Empty Room Podcast. We got some interesting things to talk about, Eric. Some things I'm very interested to know what goes on in your brain.
Hollywood is full of pedophiles.
Well, there's that. First thing is, Al Yankovic gets his star on the Walk of Fame. Are you happy for the Weirdster?
Yeah, sure, why the hell not?
He's actually influenced quite a lot of people.
I'm not saying he hasn't. He probably should have had it like 15-20 years ago.
He's definitely earned it. Congratulations to the Weird One. But he's been in everything. Think about it. He's been an icon for years on years. He's been in movies all over the place. Never really featured, but there's always something, you know, with him in it. And if you see the shows are fantastic. So, good for him.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Number two, let's talk about Asia Argento. You know who Asia Argento is?
See, this is what happens when you let someone like that run your little Me Too movement. She hammers on about getting, you know, raped by Weinstein.
Which I don't really doubt happened.
No, neither do I. I don't think it didn't happen. I'm sure it did happen.
Which is unfortunate.
Well, it's more than unfortunate. It's
horrific.
Horrific, and the guy needs to go to jail forever and ever and ever.
How is he not in jail yet? I don't understand.
I don't know. I really don't. You know, that's what happens when you have, you know, a shit ton of money. You can keep yourself out of jail. Oh. Until they, you know, find you guilty, and then they find you 2 years later with a mop handle hanging out of your ass.
All right, well, that's way more graphic than I expected out of this. But yeah,
this is just, you know, the pure hypocrisy of, you know, pedophile Hollywood.
So Asia, I don't think it, you know, just to go over the story. So Asia, you know, was one of the head of the Me Too movements. Based on her horrible experience with Weinstein, and she was speaking out and this and that, and then it turns out she's
banging a 17-year-old.
She paid off
wait a rape.
17-year-old. Now, I mean, it just looks bad. Optically, it's all sorts of bad.
Then blamed paying the guy on her dead boyfriend, that chef guy.
Oh, Bourdain.
Bourdain, the guy who hung himself.
Oh.
That just makes you even more of a cunt.
Well, yeah. I mean, the whole story just is rough. And I think it leads to what you were talking about earlier in a very crude manner, is that
Hollywood is full of pedophiles.
There's a lot of Hollywood problems in terms of sexuality and who does what with whom and what's...
Oh, it's just an absolute trash bin that needs to be sunk into the sea.
It's pretty rough. And that's going to segue into the other thing I want to talk about.
All Hollywood actors need to die except for Chris Pratt?
No, James Gunn. No, this is one that I need to talk about personally because I love those Guardians of the Galaxy movies. I'm a giant fan.
Yeah.
They're one of my favorite movies. I mean, the first one I think is rivals Back to the Future as one of the top films ever made. And here we have James Gunn, who seems to have a thing for pedophilia on Twitter.
And rape, for that matter.
So that bums me out, man.
That is a bummer.
Bugs me and bums me out.
That is a bummer.
Because I liked him and I liked the situation and I liked the movies and it turns out he's a pretty horrible person, or at least in terms... I mean, I guess you could say maybe his humor just sucks.
Oh, his humor does suck.
Or something.
But, you know, but there's no real...
If anything that's linked to reality, then he's a horrible...
Well, yeah,
person.
I mean, obviously... Well, we don't know if anything is actually linked to reality. We know that he has, at the very least, horrible...
Taste
in what's funny when it comes to children and all that other stuff. And, you know, he deserved what he got. He got fired.
I felt bad for the actors and actresses who signed that thing that said they wanted him back. And I'm like, look, guys, don't hitch your wagon to this dude right now. Like, you know, like Chris Pratt.
At least Pratt didn't try and stand up for him. Not really. At least not that I saw.
They all signed that thing.
They signed it, yeah, but, you know.
Saying that they wanted Disney to hire him back so they could do Guardians 3. But I said, oh, geez, don't do that. Don't hit your wagon to somebody who's been talking about pedophilia and rape. And, yeah, I mean, just don't do that.
Well, I mean, there's a difference between talking and joking. Now, you can say
very
that.
True.
I'm not trying to... justify anything he's tweeted or whatever, or emailed or what have you. It was all vile shit, but, you know, there's no proof that I know of that it wasn't satirical in nature.
Well, the only thing that I saw that was kind of rough, Eric, was those pictures of him being at the party, and he had the priest outfit on, and all the other people were dressed as little kids. Did you see those?
No.
That was pretty rough. When I saw those, I was like, oh, geez, don't. No. And I think, you know, I remember I read the story that Disney execs were thinking about reconsidering, and then those photos surfaced, and Disney shut the door and said, we're not doing that. But it's pretty rough, man. There's some issues out in Hollywood land, don't you agree?
Well, yeah, it needs to be burned to the ground.
Burned to the ground, says Eric.
With everyone inside.
Well,
No, with everyone inside, with a few key exceptions.
It's a little rough, but, you know.
No.
What about the Chrises? We like all the Chrises, right? Pratt, Hemsworth, Evans.
Pratt is awesome. I love Chris Pratt. He's probably my favorite person out there.
He's dating Arnold Schwarzenegger's daughter.
I don't care.
Oh.
Let's see.
Hemsworth, Thor.
Yeah, Hemsworth, he's a non-entity. He can, you know, he's good, sure. Don't know much about him.
Evans?
The only thing good about Evans is that he's a pretty decent Captain America, and he's a Patriots fan. Everything else is pretty garbage.
Hmm.
He's a leftist asshole.
Is he? Yeah. I think he,
yeah, he is. He is.
Oh.
99% of Hollywood is leftist anyway. I mean,
yeah, but you can be a lefty and be okay.
No. There's a difference. Liberal, you're fine. Leftist, you're a fucking asshole.
Oh, see, I have it. I don't know. I don't want to get down that road, Eric. I know this is your last show and all. But
well, Hillary Clinton's a murderer. Let me tell you why.
No. Even on your last show, we're not going to let you tell us why.
All right, fine.
Okay.
But leftists are fucking crazy ass evil assholes. Liberals.
I didn't think Evans was, though. I thought he was more of a moderate.
He's gone all, you know, leftist SJW bullshit ever since Trump got elected.
I don't know. Chris Rock. I mean,
what about him?
He's one of the Chrises, isn't he?
No, he's not in any Marvel movie.
No, just kidding. So,
I don't even find him to be that funny.
No, I don't either. But he was good in Dogma, though. I'll give him that.
Sure,
he was. And I loved him in the Madagascar movies. Let's go to happier things. Are you a Stranger Things fan?
I've never watched it.
Really?
Yeah, I've never have.
I'm shocked at that.
It's one of those things where it's like, I'll get around to this, and I just never got around to it.
Oh, I love it. I saw both seasons, and I like it quite a bit. Season 3, I don't know where they're going to go with it. Because it's sort of, I thought season 2 wrapped things up pretty well. But season 3 is scheduled to be highly influenced by Fletch. So I'm excited for that because I love the Fletch movies. I think Chevy Chase actually peaked at the Fletch movies.
That he did.
Yeah, I loved Fletch. You know, it was good stuff there. So I think that might be an interesting take to have an influence of the Fletch movies.
Yep. Good influence for a guy who peaked. What, 30 years ago?
He did peak 35
years ago.
But I tell you, you know, everyone remembers him in the Caddyshack movies. But Fletch was really where he hit his mark, I thought.
Yeah, where he was a starring role. Yeah. Like, not so much starring, because he was like a starring role in the Caddyshack movies too. But I'm talking about lead actor on a movie. Fletch and Fletch Lives. Fletch Lives, not as good as the original, obviously, but pretty damn close. It didn't suffer, at least in my opinion, of the usual sequel horribleness.
And you know what else? I don't mean to interrupt, but you got it. Fletch was the first movie that I saw. Fletch 1, Fletch 2 were the first movies that I saw where they really were effective in using the voiceovers of action. You know, something would be going on and his voice would come in, you know, and I realized that the brakes in the car would not work, so I felt it was a good time to move the pool over a couple inches as he runs into the pool. You know, like it was really effective in those two movies. Do you concur?
I do concur.
Yeah, it was good. So, Eric, you have seen a horror flick or two, haven't you?
I've seen my share.
And what is some of the major things that horror flicks do to try to get you scared?
Jump scares, slow scares.
Sure, but let's move. I'll funnel you somewhere different.
Okay.
What are they trying to have you relate to the victims? Where do they try to put you?
In their shoes?
Sure, but where else?
In their pants.
All right, I'm just going to bring it right to the water, okay?
I appreciate that.
We're just going to go right together, right to the water. All right. They try to isolate you.
Okay.
You know, the victim gets isolated from the group and then gets hacked.
Yeah. This, right? Yeah.
That's sort of how it works.
You weren't really shaping it that way, no, but I got it.
You know what? The more I think about it, I didn't do a great job, but you went to pants, and now I had to just yank you right there and say, look, this is what I want.
What are they trying to do with the... But, yeah, right. Well, I mean, you should ask it, like, what are they trying to do to the character... Like leading up to.
Well, the point is.
Fuck it. Just keep going.
Yeah, you know, what they're trying to do in terms of making you feel as a viewer. You know, you're part of the group, and then the person becomes isolated, and they get hacked to bits.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in those great commentaries, you know, how do you survive a horror flick? You stay with a group. You never get isolated, right?
Sure.
You know, you always stay. So. Anyway, today's horror film. Master Maker doesn't actually do that anymore. Is what this article I read was talking about. Instead of isolating physically, what these people do in their new horror flicks is that it's all about your phone battery being dead, and that's causing the horror.
that's pretty funny.
Isn't that something else? Now, I haven't seen any recent horror flicks. I'm not really a horror guy. I'm more a comedy action guy. But this article I was reading talked about how, yeah, the way to do the isolation now is that you'll notice that everyone's phone is dead when they really need it. And everyone's phone is dead. And it's sort of one of the first isolation before the baddie gets to chop him up or whatever he's going to do. What do you think of that, huh? I mean, we are on our phones 24/7 now, and people live through those things.
Yeah, it shows you kind of how far we've fallen as a civilization. Oh, no, my phone's dead. Whatever will I do? I'll just grab my gun and shoot anything that moves, personally, but that's just me.
And then 3 dogs later, you feel terrible.
Well, no, I wouldn't shoot a dog.
It did move. It was anything.
All right, anything over, you know, 4 feet tall.
Kids can live.
Kids can live, unless Yay. It's like Chucky, the murderous doll. Then I'm kind of screwed, aren't I?
Kids can live. Isn't there a reboot of Chucky? Isn't that coming?
I couldn't even begin to care less.
Probably.
Never really cared for those movies.
And lastly, Eric, this is your moment, mine as well, to give a send-off to somebody who passed away that we both loved, Jim the Anvil Neidhart. Now, you may argue that wrestling is fake, and you may argue that wrestling is over the top, and you would be right on both accounts. However, the WWE, or as they used to be known as the WWF, World Wrestling Federation, now World Wrestling Entertainment.
Yeah, it's been known as the WWE for a long time now. I think everyone's got it.
However, Neidhart did wrestle in the WWF as well. Has stood the test of time. They've been around since the, 70s and 80s?
No, they've been around for longer than that. I mean, under a different name.
Right, but the point is from Federation, it was the 80s when that really got rolling.
Yeah, when Vince Jr. took over, it started to really ramp up. And what really brought it over the top was him...
unifying.
Banking all of his money, literally all of his money on WrestleMania. And it just exploded.
Yep.
He took a chance, and it worked out.
And now, actually, today's his birthday. I just saw on Twitter, and he's 73. How about that?
God, he looks 90, doesn't he?
He's lifting weights all the time, and he's probably doing some things he shouldn't be. But I don't know. Who am I to tell?
I just think, you know, I don't know if it was, you know, steroids or drugs or whatever. I don't know. I don't know anything about that. But, I mean, he honestly... And this is really kind of stupid because I can remember several years ago, they had a WrestleMania match where, you know, Donald Trump was there, and the stipulation was if Trump's guy wins, they shave McMahon's head. And of course, Trump's guy wins, they shave his head. And McMahon really never looked the same after that. I mean, it was just like, now I'm not contributing anything to that. It was just like, you know, it's just weird. Like when his hair came back, he never really did it the same way again. Like he would go to the sides instead of going back. And, you know, he just started to age really fast, in my opinion. And that to the point where it's like, you know, he's 73. I mean, 73 is old, but he's not, you know, he's not 90, but he looks like a good 10 years older than he actually is.
Well, the other thing too, is that we remember what he looked like prior, and we remember the bulking up stage. And you know, when you get to your 60s and 70s, things tend to go downhill faster than you would think.
It just seemed to happen really fast, yeah. In my opinion. No, I'm not saying he's sick or anything. This is merely my opinion.
I saw an article on Barstool the other day that I thought that this whole talk has triggered a memory, and it was based.
Oh, you got triggered, did you?
I got triggered.
Trigger warning.
My favorite wrestler, my favorite wrestler, Gangrel. Remember Gangrel? Is my dog. I loved Gangrel, and. Someone got a hold of him and said, "Do you remember the time that you spit blood at Donald Trump?" And he was like, "Oh, let me tell you the story." He's like, "I was never a big guy. I never got over well. And all of a sudden, I get a phone call from Vince saying, I have to show up at Madison Square Garden for this show." And I was like, "Dude, okay." So I ran over there. And they told me I wasn't going to wrestle. And I was like, "All right, whatever. But I was going to spit blood at this guy.
At this guy."
And that was it. And he said, "All right, so I come out, and I've never been over this well before. Everyone's cheering at Madison Square Garden, and people are going nuts." And I was like, "Oh, this is fantastic. This is great." So when it came down and the guy got in front of me, I spit as much blood as I could possibly do at this guy, and I covered him. I had no idea it was Donald Trump. To me, it was just some guy. They said, "Look, I'm going to put a guy in front of you and spit blood at him." The guy afterwards, I realized it was Donald Trump, and he shook my hand and said it was a great job, and I was mortified. I was like, I just spit blood at one of the most powerful people in New York. But that's a funny story. But we got on this topic because we're saying goodbye to Jim the Anvil.
Jim the Anvil.
Now, I started this whole thing because I was trying to explain that the WWE has been inspirational and made marks all throughout the 80s, 90s, and now. I mean, you and I can tell stories of matches, obviously knowing that they were fixed. We knew that there was not a real competitive component to it. And we love these guys. And you are a giant fan of Bret the Hitman Hart.
Still my favorite.
And I was a giant fan of Jim the Anvil Neidhart. And they created the Hart Foundation. I remember Jim the Anvil. In one of his mic sessions, you know, "Oh, you say you're going to rock the foundation. You say you're going to do this." He's pulling on the beard and everything. He was better on the mic than Bret.
Oh, God, yeah.
But
yeah.
Bret was a far superior wrestler.
Sure.
Jim was literally like a hammer. Like, he just ran into you. And that was sort of it. But they were fantastic. That was my favorite tag team of all time.
Yeah. Bret could kind of work his way through, you know, a promo on the mic. He wasn't, you know, a huge natural showman. He just kind of went out there and said what he thought and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it went over or whatever. Anvil was much more gregarious and had a lot more charisma to him. And it was fantastic. I mean, the lines he would come up with are great. The look was fantastic. For the time, and even, you know, after that kind of era left, the look was still, you know, great. You know, the whole goatee thing. And the thing I remember most about him is just his laugh, like the laugh he would do.
Yeah, it was great laugh.
It was a really good one. Yeah, it was.
And his daughter wrestles now.
Yeah, his daughter wrestles now.
Wrestles now on the WWE and does well.
Yeah, she does well. And it's just a real shame that he
just fell.
Passed away this early.
That's what happened. He just fell.
Yeah, and it's just like,
it was an accident. He slipped. He fell. He cracked his head open, and that was it.
Yep.
And what really made me sad was somebody on Twitter posted this picture of all the guys, you know, Bret the Hitman Hart, Jim the Anvil Neidhart, The other Owen Hart.
Probably it's probably the picture they probably posted was of the
British Bulldog
of the Hart Foundation.
Yeah,
the evil group.
Yeah,
Brett's the only one left.
They're all gone.
Brett's the only one left.
All gone. The only one who's left is Brett, and it's crazy. You know, Dynamite Kid's gone too.
No. Dynamite Kid's still alive.
Is he?
Yeah, he's wheelchair bound, but he's still alive.
Oh, was he in that photo then?
No. You're probably thinking about the photo was probably of like that mid 90s era where Brett was a bad guy.
Oh, yeah.
And the Hart Foundation was a group.
Yeah.
It consisted of Brett, Owen, Davey, Anvil, and Brian Pillman.
Pillman was the other guy. And, okay, not Dynamite.
And Pillman. All of them are all the others are dead.
Yeah.
With the exception of Brett.
That's crazy.
And Brett's had
tough life, man.
A stroke.
Yeah.
Or two.
That wrestling world is a tough life. I got to think it's a little bit better now because there's been more light shined on the hardships and whatnot. But they beat the hell out of each other and they beat the hell out of themselves. And it's a hard way to live.
One of those hard things where it's like, Jesus, you think about how many people Brett has lost.
Well, he's the Roy Orbison of the WWE. I never thought I met or heard of a guy losing so many people in so many different ways. Mm. And then, you know, Roy Orbison's up there in the rock world. You could also put Eric Clapton up there as well if you wanted to. But no, Brett's lost a lot of people. And it's sad. But Jimmy Anvil, salute you. You were fantastic. Hope to see you later on the road, sir.
Rest in peace, John.
Listener to this show,
which you're not,
you may recognize that generally our world-renowned
so we're talking about the same thing.
No, we're not.
The General Lee.
No, we're not. Stop it. Generally, our world-renowned Pope Watch. It's usually comes second.
It's too depressing. It's too fucking depressing.
We are in a world where Eric is too depressed to even deal with the Pope, but we have to do the Pope Watch.
Yeah.
And nothing good for the Pope these days. Nothing good.
Nothing good in that whole area.
Yeah. So we'll talk about a couple of things first. Obviously, we have the sex abuse that was uncovered in Pennsylvania. The Pope has been quiet on until recently, and then recently he said the right thing. We abhor this and
true.
Blah, blah, blah. But, you know, in Pennsylvania, they had 72 years of documentation.
And where's the fucking cardinal from? The fucking Mexican cardinal?
I don't think it was. I don't think we're talking about the same thing at the moment. But
No. This was like came out yesterday that this fucking cardinal was like, these people should be ashamed for. Accusing men of God of these.
I'm talking about the thing in Pennsylvania. 72 years of documentation of thousands of kids that were affected by awful priests that were raped or sexually abused or oh God, it's just awful. And the worst part was the documentation showed how they hid it and who they moved and who they did, how they basically kept it alive without any prosecution. Which made everyone just bullshit, and rightfully so.
Yep.
It's just unreal. And I remember I was talking with another person of the podcast world, not on a podcast, but just someone else who does one, and we were talking about how this is unbelievable, and what should happen is that every government official in every state should demand to know and have all this information that obviously all these assholes are keeping, And if they don't get it, they remove tax exempt status for the Catholic Church and they start shutting their buildings down. Because this is just abhorrent. Are there good priests out there for the Catholic Church? There must be. But now we're at the point where I think you got to fight. You can't let this just keep. Well, you can't police yourself on this anymore. Now you need to bring somebody in. What do you think?
I don't understand what removing tax exempt status would actually accomplish.
Well, it would mean that they would have to pay taxes on property.
I know what it would mean. I know what it would mean, but what would it do to actually?
Well, that's how you hurt people like this. You hit them in the wallet. Like they don't. You know, they don't want to spend money to keep their property and keep their buildings and on whatever. So, I mean, that's the first step because that's what they all want to protect. That's their power is that they don't have to pay taxes on anything. They just be.
They just be.
But the problem is that they're with this whole sex abuse thing and the Pope's at the top. He should be handling this. And he's chosen not to for whatever reason. You can't police yourself.
Well, anymore. We don't know how much of this, if any, was hidden from him by this Pennsylvania.
We can always suppose, you're right, Eric, that he never saw it. But I got to think they all know. I think this is as far up as possible.
Yeah, I would assume that he knows about it. I'm just saying, it is it possible? Yes. Is it likely? No, probably not.
I even spoke out of turn. I was like, I wonder if this is linked to Penn State. And like it's a big child ring that all these assholes are in on, and Sandusky was getting kids from this and that, and then because there was some weird stuff in that Penn State thing where like there was a reporter that was looking into Penn State, all of a sudden dude winds up dead, and all his computer information was in the river and stuff. You know, I wonder if it's all linked, if it's all connected, and Pennsylvania's got an incredible problem with child trafficking. I don't know, but. And again, that's out of turn and it's all hearsay, but I mean, it just seems like there's problems in that state and it's not good. So the Pope, you know, what's he going to do? He finally came out and said something about it, but this sex abuse scandal now, it has thrown a shadow over his Ireland visit. People in Ireland are pissed. They don't want him to come. I guess I can understand that.
Yeah.
And you know, pressure mounts for Pope for tougher actions on sex abuse. He's got to do more than just condone it. Not condone it. He's got to do more than just say this is awful and we got to pray for them. He's got to actually start getting people out of the church. Excommunicate anyone who's possibly linked to this stuff. Like, you got to flush it out. It's like Hollywood, Eric. I mean, do you agree?
Yes. Yes, I do. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. Do you go whole hog or do you actually try and find out what happened? Because this is going to end up like the whole Me Too movement ended up, which is bad people getting smashed, which, you know, fan-fucking-tastic. But good people got smashed too. Now, I'm not saying, you know, these priests don't deserve to, first of all, go to hell, and second of all, be drummed out of the church and, you know, go to prison forever and ever and ever. But I'm just worried about the good ones that are going to get swept up in this who didn't do anything.
I think that's always the argument. Do you come at it with a scalpel or do you come at it with a machete and you figure out what's what? I just think the reputation of the Catholic Church and the reputation of all involved is so poisoned now that you have to come at it with a machete. You can't be surgical.
No, see, I don't agree. The reputation of a billion-person religion.
Well, it's not the people themselves.
Sullied by the church in one state, in one country.
No, it's more than that, though. It's not.
I'm talking about this particular incident. Yeah, incident.
But that's what I mean. There's been other incidents, and there's other problems, and there's been other things going on. This is not. This is just the most recent one. It's not like it's the only one. And your reputation. Look, the Irish as a whole don't want him to come visit because
half the Irish don't want him to come anyway because they're half of them are Protestant.
Well, sure, but at the end of the day, you have large country sects of people saying, "No, this is bullshit. We're done with you." I mean, you got to start cutting people. You got to start figuring this out.
Yeah, but it's still scalpel time. It's not machete time.
All right. Well, we agree to disagree on that one.
All right.
There's a faith crisis. That's the other part that I wanted to lay on you.
Leftist assholes.
Well, no.
No, no. All of them. Well, all of them.
All I'm saying is that the Catholic religion has, in this article, has lost more believers in the last year than any other of the religions combined. And there's a faith crisis, and the sexual assault stuff has a lot to do with it.
Well, you know, I'm sure
climate change doesn't help either.
No, I'm sure.
You
I'm
know
sure,
that's my bugaboo about
I'm,
it.
I'm sure you know the Muslims have lost just as many, but those people die because they get murdered by their Muslim brothers because they leave the church and they're supposed to be murdered. That's true, by the way.
Depressing, nonetheless. My point is that there's a faith crisis with the Popus. He's the guy. He's got to turn the ship around.
And again, he's too busy wanting to turn everybody socialist.
And I think, you know, you take a machete to it and you stop worrying about climate change and you worry about the damn kids who are you're supposed to protect. I mean, that's supposed to be the innocent of us all. And you're letting your own clergy do horrible things. No, gotta stop. I'm more upset and physically aggravated about that than about Hollywood. Now, Hollywood's got its own problem, don't get me wrong, but this, anything that involves kids, I'm up in arms. So that's how I feel.
Anything? What do you think? Hollywood's the same sucks.
I know. I'm getting aggravated.
But why does this make you angrier?
Because I guess the only reason it makes me angrier is that these guys are supposed to be the protectors. These guys are supposed to be the good people. Like, I don't view anyone in Hollywood really supposed to be a good person. Like, if they are, great, celebrate them. Chris Pratt, you know, look at Chris Pratt. But
this is knocking on wood.
Yes, he's the only guy right now that I think is a decent human being. But seriously, they're not supposed to be. They're not given the moniker of a good person. You're supposed to be a good person if you're a person. You're supposed to be a man of God that does the right thing. There's supposed to be morality that goes with that.
Yeah, but
there's no morality that goes with being
a movie star. That's not true. That's not true. The reason I say that's not true is because we, as a country and as a Western society, have been taught, and some of us break out of it, like you and I and stuff like that. But we are taught that these celebrities are who we should look up to and we should listen to them. I think they put their on, you know, fucking...
Oh, that's not you selling material.
No, it's, you know, that's why they throw them on these fucking commercials. Talking about, like, you know, oh, this is who we should vote for because we're, like, we're the moral center of this country and this bullshit.
Well, no one believes that. I mean,
a surprising amount of people believe that.
I think the plebes do. I don't think anyone really believes that. Unless you're
a surprising amount of morons believe it.
You shouldn't have to. But that's why I have a problem more with the Catholic Church than I do with the Hollywood, because I think the morality that's supposed to be with a priest outweighs anything that's supposed to happen with a Hollywood elite. And, you know, can we agree that fuck both of them?
Yes.
And lastly, this is, I think, very important. I found this article recently, and I wasn't sure about it first. And then I read it again, and I was like, oh, wow, interesting. Tell me what you think about this.
Okay.
2016, a cardinal who was the head of exorcism at the Vatican passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Before he passed away, he wrote a letter to a newspaper, of all places, saying, the devil resides in the Vatican. And I was like, ooh, that's an interesting thing to say before you die. And in the letter, he talks about, look at all the things that are happening right now. Look about where the church is going. Look at where all the pedophilia and all that stuff. Look at all the hidden stuff. He said that it's been there for decades on decades. He's been trying to do something about it, but could not, and finally he succumbed. Interesting thought, huh? What an interesting thought. If you're a believer, if you're not a believer, it's all bullshit and you don't care anyway. But
well, I am, and I'm not. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. If I know one thing, or if I believe one thing, it's this. Exorcists, or, you know, as I would call them, maybe warriors for God or warriors of God, even if they don't, like, you know, sword in hand, go fighting. These are, you know, more modern day fighters of warriors of God, these exorcists, and they there need to be more. There's less, there's there shouldn't be fewer. There should be more. Some things need to come back to combat this evil that they've always fought. And just because the world moves on doesn't mean that things need to be left behind. Things need to be brought back. And that's just what I think.
It's always interesting on this stuff because there's moments where you're like, oh, wow, I can see where that's sort of made up. And there's moments where you're like, whoa, that's definitely out of the ordinary and probably something that's beyond what I'm what I'm capable of understanding in terms of religion in general. But and I don't think it ever hurts to have somebody that's looking to right the wrongs and trying to help people that are in distress.
It would be one thing if this guy was just spouting it off. This was his final decree before he died. This is something.
Generally, I mean, I don't know when the note was written. I don't know if it was on his deathbed or anything like that. But the year he passed away, this is the letter he wrote.
So I would say, the year he passed away, I would pretty much file that under final decree.
Yeah.
And he didn't write it to the Pope. He didn't write it to the cardinals or anyone else in the Vatican. He wrote it to someone outside who needed to know that this was happening inside and that they needed help.
So, I mean, I know. I hear you. So, I mean, I think at the end of the day, we should pray for the Pope to turn it around. I mean, that's all we can do.
Gotta pray for someone to turn it around. Maybe the Pope's not the guy anymore.
New Pope, new smoke. Anyway, don't want to leave on a bummer, but that's the good one. As we turn to the home stretch, let's talk about the news. We love the news. The news that makes us want to booze. Although, quite frankly, I think Pope stuff makes me want to booze more right now.
He is.
My microphone looks like a penis.
Eric, come on. Pull together. It's the last spot here. Come on. No. So let's talk about this. New Jersey.
People are also looks like a penis.
New Jersey, in Newark. People are getting on a plane.
Yep.
The plane is getting ready to taxi to the runway.
Yep.
Somebody looks over and sees that this man, sitting in whatever row B, will say, has a gun.
Is he not the...
So he flips out, calls the stewardesses over. The stewardesses tells the pilots, they run down, they pin the guy down, they get people, they stop the plane, they get the authorities, they bring him off. Yeah, he was the flight marshal.
Way to go, dude.
He was supposed to be on that flight. He was supposed to be armed. He was supposed to be helping. And in the panic, they carted his ass off.
Brilliant.
So that's the first bit of news. Doesn't pay to be doing the right thing sometimes. The second thing, Kentucky Fried Chicken. We all love it, don't we, Eric? KFC.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this one in Arizona. It was a special one. The guy who owned it was arrested when he tried. I guess he was leaving in his truck. Cops pulled him over and they found two large backpacks filled with cocaine. So they went into the KFC joint and they found a drug smuggling tunnel from KFC all the way to Mexico.
Wow.
And you wonder why the gravy tasted so good. So any comments on that news story?
That's that's something. If you're gonna do it, tunnel to Mexico.
I mean, because that's where all the good shit is. Apparently, that's what you know. That's what I've heard.
Eric, do you like cheese?
You know I do.
Has there ever been a cheese that you felt that you could not eat?
Well, I don't eat like gourmet cheeses.
Oh. Well, I have a cheese for you. They found cheese, a white matter cheese, in a sarcophagus in Egypt that's thousands and thousands of years old. Would you eat that cheese?
I would.
I
would eat that cheese just for the experience. I might die, but I'm going to eat that cheese.
So they found cheese. So even the ancient Romans loved their cheeses. And you would eat the cheese. I don't know if I would. I mean, that's thousands of years old. There's a lot of bacteria on there. Probably a curse of some sort. So yeah, I don't know if I would.
Looks like John McCain is ending his brain cancer treatment.
Yeah, I saw that. But that's not news of this order. We want more of this one. Are you afraid of sharks, Eric?
Only when I'm in the water.
Well.
Or I should say the ocean.
Well, the sharks are... There seems to be more of them, and there seems to be more bite attacks lately. And one guy, he got bit by a shark. And they brought him to the hospital. He's been dealing with it. But that shark bite has now turned into, let me read this correctly, flesh-eating bacteria.
That's a rough one.
So, Eric, here's my question to you. If sharks now have flesh-eating bacteria saliva, what chance do we have? I mean, what chance do we have?
Pretty much none.
I mean, Sharknado is going to happen for real soon.
Yeah, I mean, hurricanes eventually.
And sharks, they're going to have bacteria saliva.
Yeah, no, eventually there will be a massive Sharknado, or you know, they'll grow arms and legs and come at us from you know the ground, and you know.
Do you search for Ian Ziering at that point because he's gotten through a couple of these?
No, I would more look for someone whose career didn't need to be rejuvenated by flying sharks in high winds.
That was always a fun topic, I thought. You know, if there's a celebrity or a sports star that you had to hang out with in terms of a like zombie apocalypse or some sort of epileptic thing, who would it be? Do you have a guy in mind? Who would you link up with to try to survive? I already have mine.
It would be either Chris Pratt or Ted.
See, I would go Logan Mickens. Or online for the
Patriots. Oh, I think you're going to pull off the board with celebrity, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Fine.
Because he was a celebrity here for a while. And,
yeah,
and he was a celebrity when he played for, I want to say it was the Panthers?
So he was a celebrity in two spots.
It's all right. Still going with Logan.
All right.
That dude will help me get through anything. But if he gets bit, I'm screwed. Because can't stop him. So, sharks. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Okay, two more stories here. Man hops over the zoo fence and spanks a hippopotamus on the ass. What do you think about that? I was hoping for a giraffe replay there where he gets booted, but he doesn't. He just gets over the wall.
You're dealing with a hippopotamus. They're not exactly graceful on dry land.
And on that end. I mean, the hippo can snap you in half with its jaws, but if you get to the back end, you're in pretty decent shape.
You're in pretty decent shape. You could probably run away before the thing turns around. Of course, if he was trying to do it in water, he'd probably get fucking killed.
But still, they shouldn't be letting... I mean, I know police are investigating it now. You really shouldn't get into the enclosures with the animals. It's a horrible, horrible idea.
That is true.
It leads to death.
But he succeeded, and you got to give him props for that. He was able to spank a hippo and live to tell about it.
I mean, would you spank a hippo's ass?
No.
I mean, even if you knew you would live through it and not get touched?
No, if I knew I was going to get... If I knew beforehand that I was going to live through it, yeah, I'd do it.
You'd spank the ass?
Sure. I mean, if I knew for a fact...
They have fine asses, those hippos.
Yeah. If I knew for a fact that I, you know... get out without being hurt, you know, why not?
It's not that everybody would do it.
Well, because, yeah, everyone would do it, but like, you know, if one guy, if I knew for a fact I had some premonition that I wasn't going to get hurt, yeah, I'd fucking spank a hippo.
That's our next t-shirt. Yeah, I'd spank a hippo.
And it's just like one of those things that's like, yeah, fuck it, I'll spank it. And, you know, it's not going to, the hippo's not going to give a shit. He'll be mad for about 30 seconds and then just go back to doing whatever else he was doing.
Yeah, I'd spank a hippo.
I'd spank a hippo.
Well, a lot. I love spanking hippos. It's what you do, right? You spank a hippo. That's the shirt, man, right there. I'd spank a hippo. And lastly, MIT. They have a computer that has predicted the end of our civilization. They say it's in the 2042 range, if I recall. I'm actually looking at my phone right now to confirm, but of course, I can't seem to find it now. What do you think? Do you think the computer's on? I mean, MIT is usually pretty good. What do you think? Is the end coming?
Let me guess. It was because they put in that Trump was going to be in his, like, his seventh term or some shit like that?
Oh, I don't know about that, but...
I don't know.
Oh, 2040, exactly. In 1973, a computer program was developed at MIT to model global sustainability. Instead, it predicted that by 2040, our civilization would end.
It depends.
1973. Who the hell cares?
1973. I mean, what kind of parameters did they fucking put in?
Oh my gosh. Who the hell knows?
Fuck that shit.
So,
you know what we're saying? We don't have 5 years all over about 20 years ago.
We don't buy it. So, we'll continue on past 2040.
Sure, why don't I?
For the week.
It's on like.
Last bit, the question. Now, since this may be Eric's last one,
probably not.
I've come up with a couple questions that I thought might just be fun. They're list fun stuff.
All right.
Okay.
I just think it's really funny that we call it the question, and it's always multiple questions.
Sure. So, heroes, villains, and action stars, Eric.
Okay.
Heroes, villains, action stars. Now, you have to pick one that you're going to align yourself with.
Okay.
Which would you like to do first? Heroes, villains, or action stars?
Heroes.
Heroes. Okay. Pick one. To align yourself with and tell me why. You can choose of these six.
Of these six.
Deadpool.
Uh-huh.
Ingmar Anderson.
I don't know who that is.
He is the head guy in Swedish Dicks.
Okay.
Frank Martin.
Don't know who that is.
It's the Transporter.
Okay.
Ron Burgundy.
Okay.
Ace Ventura.
Okay.
Or Frank Drebin.
Deadpool.
Why Deadpool?
Because all the rest of them are fucking...
Or what?
No, just idiots, morons.
I think they're all idiots and morons, aren't they?
Yeah, but...
Although Frank Martin's not an idiot. He's Frank.
Yeah, he's Frank.
You know?
He'd be my backup. He'd definitely work out.
I would go with Frank Drebin, because they seem to happen to Frank Drebin.
After all the bad things.
I know.
And his friends end up in, like, you know, hospitals.
Heroin Frank.
Heroin Frank.
That's a pretty Although, you tall know, order. Yeah. Norberg,
Deadpool's friends don't exactly end up in the best of ways, either.
I mean, Ace Ventura, he's got some luck on him. He gets through.
Yeah, but can you really stand that forever?
All right, so you're going with Deadpool.
Yeah.
Which next, villains or action stars?
Action stars.
Action stars. You have The Rock. You have Chris Pratt. You have Chris Hemsworth. You have Keanu Reeves. Liam Neeson. And Jason Statham. Who do you align yourself with? Why?
Pratt, because he's awesome.
We love Pratt.
We do.
But The Rock's a decent guy.
I never said Rock's not a decent guy.
Helmsworth's a decent guy, although you seem to think he's wishy-washy.
He's nothing. He's like, you know, there's no substance there. I don't, and that's just because I don't know much about him.
And then Keanu Reeves? We like Keanu Reeves.
Sure, Keanu's fine.
Neeson? Statham? I don't know anything about it. Well, Statham seems all right. Neeson seems to be on the other side of the fence, but you're going with Chris Pratt. You want Star-Lord?
Yeah, well, Pratt. Finally, villains.
Villains. We got Mugatu.
I don't know who that is.
From Zoolander.
Ugh.
We got Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
From Beetlejuice.
No shit.
We have White Goodman from Dodgeball.
Oh. Why do you pick shitty villains?
Because they're supposed to be shitty villains. Shooter McGavin. From Happy Gilmore. Dark Helmet from Spaceballs. And lastly, Hedley Lamarr. For Blazing Saddles. Which villain would you roll with and why?
Shit, that's a tough one.
They're supposed to be bad villains, Eric. I mean, I guess if I was going to do good villains, we would be talking about Moriarty and we'd be talking about...
It's not about quality of villain, but it's just like, because you have like really quality villains in his last two, and all the rest of them just suck. They're just like, ugh. They're not even villainous. They're just fucking annoying. shit, man.
You know what? I'll go with Dark Helmet.
Dark Helmet?
Yeah. I like Dark Helmet.
I was thinking I'd go with Beetlejuice, because there's some cool stuff that could happen there. But he might turn on you at any moment.
Yeah.
You know? Mugatu's funny, but Mike Goodman's even funnier to me.
Whatever.
But Shooter McGavin?
No. I already made my choice.
You made your choice. All right. So do you have any questions for me?
Ever have any questions for you?
Well, you know, I figured since this was one of your last go-arounds in person anyway, that you might have something. Want to say to any of the seven fans we have?
Microphones look like penises.
And that is how we'll end. So the Empty Room Podcast, episode 42, we'll call it a day. Check us out on Twitter, check us out on Instagram, check us out on Facebook. You can find our podcast on our website, emptyroompodcast.com. We're on Stitcher, we're on iTunes, we're on SoundCloud even. We're on everywhere. We just gotta click.